We're going to continue on in the Gospel of Mark this morning. And we've been in Mark chapter 1 for a little while, and we're going to be there for a little while yet. And in this passage of Scripture, I want to focus on one thing that Jesus did. You could spend a lot of time on one thing that Jesus did. There's so much involved in everything that Jesus does that we can discover much of how to live as a Christian by looking at the life of Jesus Christ and his actions. So we look at this verse here in Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. I touched on this last week as we looked at the importance of the message and the importance of miracles. We saw that the message was vital. The message was central. It was more important than the miracles, friends. The miracles were used to bring out the message, to affirm the message. But the message must be first. That is, the preaching of the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is always the center of Christianity. Take that away and you don't have a message to give. But we also see that there's a undergirding the message and the miracles. There has to be power. There has to be a guidance. There has to be all that is needed in order to do this work. You know, Jesus said very clearly, without me, you can do nothing. Now, I don't know how much you think about that, but he says, without me, you can do nothing. Well, you say, well, yeah, I can get up, I can wash the dishes, I can scrub the floor. I don't need Jesus to do that. Well, in essence, you actually do, because he's the very creator that made you and puts the breath in your body. But on top of all of that, I can wash the dishes with one frame of mind or wash it with another frame of mind. I can wash the dishes praising God. And when I'm doing that, when I'm living in communion with God while I'm doing that, the Bible actually tells me that it's gold and silver and precious stones in heaven. That it actually produces fruit for eternity. What I do every moment either produces fruit for eternity or nothing at all. And only what I do in Christ produces something that is lasting. Something that has eternal value to it. Everything else is just dust to your fingers. So when we look at the life of Jesus Christ and we see him, we discover something that we could learn well from. Because first of all, we have to understand that Jesus Christ was God who had become man. Okay, he wasn't less than God. But what he did do is make a particular choice. And in that particular choice, it's in Philippians chapter 2, we discover what it says about him. In Philippians 2:5, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. In other words, you think the way Jesus thought. Behave the way Jesus behaves. Wow. You have the same mind that he had. And what kind of a mind did he have? It says this, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. He says it wasn't robbery for him to say he was equal with God. He wasn't taking away from who God was, because he was very God, just as the Father was God. And Jesus, being the very form of God, he says he made himself of no reputation. He took the low place. He took the form of a bondservant and came in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. So why was Jesus praying? Why would God have to pray? He's God. Why would he need to pray? Didn't he have all the power and the authority that he could ever have? But here's the thing. When Jesus left heaven to come here, he left behind his own power. He left behind his own abilities. And what he did is he was willing to leave those things aside, not use them, and instead to come and be one of us and live in simple dependence upon the Father for everything that needed to be accomplished. You know, he said, of my own self, I can do nothing in John chapter 5. I'll only do that which the Father tells me to do. So here's the heart of Jesus. This is what we discover about Jesus, that he took this place. Why was it that Jesus, God, was praying to the Father? Why couldn't he just do whatever he wanted to do? Because he didn't come to do his own will. He said this, I come not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And so we find it as Jesus had been doing these miracles all day long, right into the night. And the crowds were gathering around, and more crowds were gathering around. Busy times. Man, it looked like, well, we're going to be busy serving here. We're going to be busy doing here. But suddenly, Jesus, who's busy doing, stops doing. Stops all of that doing, disappears. He takes off. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight. And I can say this, he got up before anybody else did. Because they didn't know where he was. They hadn't seen him go. He was determined to get up early. Now, it was a long while before daylight. He was an early riser. And what was he doing? He was a long while before daylight. He went out and departed to a solitary place. And there he prayed. Early in the morning, before there was anything else that could disturb him, and to make sure there was nothing else to disturb him, he went alone to be with God. Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ. Let me encourage you to a life of prayer today, friends. Because here's the thing. If the Son of God, in order to accomplish what he was going to do while he was here on earth, the Son of God, Jesus, needed to pray, needed to spend hours praying, how many hours do you need to pray? You think about that for a few minutes. We look at his life, we look at his ministry, and we say, wow, he was certainly dedicated. But if he needed this in his experience in order to do what God had called him to do, how much do I need to be a man of prayer? How much do you need to be a man or a woman of prayer? I want to encourage you. I think we've only dipped the tip of our fingers in the water of prayer, of what prayer really is, and how it can be that we can come into the presence of God. I remember as Hugh and I were spending mornings in prayer, one fellow had asked us the question, what do you do there? How can you spend 3 or 4 hours praying? When I say my prayers, you know, I say them and I'm done. So what are you doing? I said, come and see. Come and pray with us. So he did. Realizing that prayer is not just taking your list and bringing it to God. Prayer is spending time with the one that you love. Don't you like to do that? Don't you like to do that? Prayer is spending time with the one that you love. It's getting to know that person. It's worshiping. It's hearing from him. We come together to pray with our open Bibles and we wait on God. And the Lord brings verses to mind to begin to give understanding to them. Most of the time where there is blessing in my life, where there is clarity in preaching and in teaching, it has come out of being in with Jesus. It's come out of waiting on him. It's come out of hearing his voice, of listening to the Lord. As I prepare for sermons, I start with the text early in the week, and all week long, I'm chewing over that text, thinking about it, but I'm praying. I'm saying, God, what is there here? Teach me, show me. Let me learn from you. You're going to miss the heart of Christianity if you're not a praying person. And here's the thing. For most of us, life is very busy, isn't it? For most of us, it seems the day grabs you by the throat before you get out of bed. Isn't that true? Yeah. But I want to tell you that if you take time for Jesus, he'll make time for you. Things go better with Christ. Years ago, there was an ad that used to be on TV, things go better with Coke. But I want to tell you, things go better with Christ. They do. Everything goes better with Christ. If you will take the time to put God first in your heart, in your soul, in your life, you will discover things go better. You'll discover a wisdom from God, a way of making decisions that will be good decisions, holy decisions, decisions that will carry good ramifications down the road. You'll discover a power to be able to live in a godless world. It's a powerful thing to live holy in a godless world. You'll discover that your eyes will be open to see things as they really are because you're in communion with God. You know, when people spend a lot of time together, they kind of grow together, don't they? You know, there's one couple that I think about every time I think about that, and that's Leonard and Geraldine. They even look alike. Go figure. Huh? They do. I mean, huh? They sound alike. They look alike. They're individual persons, of course. But there's a coming together. There's an understanding with one another. There's a relationship that develops there. And you know how it is with a husband or a wife. A person, a wife could be way across a room. And I used to find that with Marie. And Heather's getting pretty good at it already. But right across a room, just one look would tell me everything I need to know. Without saying a word, right? You know what you mean? You understand? I believe that, Jean-Paul, right? Listen, why? It's because you spend time together. It's because you know each other. You know what the other person is thinking almost. You know what they're going to say before they say it sometimes, right? You can say, you don't have to say that, dear. I already know it, right? Listen, you need to spend time with Jesus Christ or else it's going to be some obscure thing, a person way out there somewhere when all the while, oh, how he wants to be intimate with us. Oh, how he wants to love us. Oh, how he wants to be near to us. He wants to walk with us and talk with us along life's narrow way. No wonder the Bible says to pray without ceasing, be in constant communion with God. And I love that. And I like to do that. I like to be whispering to God and talking to him, and I'm facing a situation and I'm just praying it through, and I meet somebody and I pray for them, and just to get in that place where you're constantly speaking with God. But on top of all of that, I'm a person that needs to take time to be alone with God. And I find that a struggle. I do. I should be running to meet with God. But there are times when busyness seems more important. The things that need to get done seem to stand out much stronger than being with Jesus. But look at the life of Jesus. What was he doing? He was doing incredible ministry up until now. The crowds were all gathered round. And don't you worry, first thing in the morning, there were great crowds again. Look what he says here. That when they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." He had been doing miracles. And of course, word got out. More people came and more people came. And we love to serve people. I love to serve people. I love to spend time with people. I love to visit people. I love it. I want to be there to serve you as much as I can. But I know sometimes I cheat. I cheat God. And I say, well, no, I got to go out and help this person. I got to go out and do that for that person. I got to go visit that person. And sometimes what I need to do is shut down and be with Jesus. So pray for me. I need your prayers that I would be more a man of prayer than I am. I need that. There's a deficiency in my walk, and I want it to improve, where I spend more quality time with Jesus, undistracted. Undistracted time. This is a world that is full of distractions. It calls to you everywhere. And I love information. That's why I need to be... slow down on getting on the iPhone and on the computer. And you know, the newspaper people used to call me. They don't call me anymore, but they used to call me and say, "We give you a 3-month subscription to the Herald." And I'll say, "I don't want it." "Yeah, but it's free. Why wouldn't you want it?" I said, "Because if I get the Herald, I read everything that's in it." "Yeah, but you'd be better informed." I said, "I don't need to be that informed. The trouble with me," I said, "if I get the paper, I read everything. I even read the advertisements." Why? I don't know, but I just read everything, whatever's in front of me. I just go, blah, 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 and I digest most of it. I fill my head. Ask Heather, am I full of trivial knowledge? "Yeah. Where did you get that from?" "I don't know, but it's in there somewhere." And then she wonders, and I say, "Okay, there it is, yeah." But I don't want to have my head so full of everything else that there's no room for Jesus. I need Jesus. He is more important than anything else. So Jesus, when everyone looking for him, he said to them, here's what he says, let's go into the next town so that I may preach there also. You would think he would have gone back. I said this last week. You think he would have gone back and done more miracles and made sure everybody got looked after before he went on to the next town. But that's not what he did. Why? Because he had spent time with his father and he was getting his directions from his father. He had a wisdom from the father that, look, something more important than the miracles was this message needs to get out. He would never get the message out. You see, sometimes, even in today, people emphasize miracles to the point where the message is lost, where the cross is missing, where salvation doesn't happen. It doesn't matter how healed a person is. Doesn't matter how healthy a person is if they die and go to hell. The message is the most important thing. People need to be saved. And Jesus knew that. And he knew that because he said, that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth. And then he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. Jesus knew what to do because he spent time with his father. Look in Luke chapter 6, verse 12. It came to pass in those days he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Imagine, all night in prayer. And when it was day, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. How did he know which ones to choose? He spent all night in prayer with the Father. You see, Jesus had humbled himself to the point where everything that he got from the Father. All the wisdom, all the direction, all the strength, all the power. Never did a miracle, right, for 30 years until the Spirit of God came upon him at his baptism. No miracles. Everything was received from the Father. This is the way that he lived. And so he spends all night in prayer as he makes a very important decision the next day. Who's going to be the 12 that are going to be with me? This is how Jesus lived. But I want you to know underneath all of that, and here's the answer, friends, to prayer. Here's the answer to increasing your prayer life, okay? Here's what happens. Here's Jesus. Just before he was conceived within the womb of Mary, he said something. Imagine that. Before he was conceived, before he went dark, shall we say, before he went incognito, what did he do? He said this. When he came into the world. Now, when did he come into the world? It wasn't at Bethlehem.
9 months before he was born.
That's right. That's when he came into the world. We believe that personhood starts the moment of conception. That's when Jesus left heaven. He didn't leave heaven and suddenly come out in the baby when the baby was born in Bethlehem in a stable. He left heaven when he was conceived within the womb of Mary. And here's what he had to say. When he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. That's the body, right? Makes sense? In burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book or the scroll, it is written of me to do your will, O God. This is the heart of the life of Jesus Christ. This is why we find him praying. Because he says, I've come to do your will, O God. I've come to do your will. Listen, the heart of your life is to be this. Once you become a Christian, the heart of your life is this. I've come to do your will, O God. What did Jesus say? Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Are you living that way? If you don't start there won't be much prayer. If you don't start in the place to say, Lord, it's not my life. It's not my will. It's not what I want, what you want. Whether I like it or whether I don't, that is irrelevant, friends. That isn't the issue. Our culture today says, whatever you like, do. That's it. That's the way you're supposed to live. That's what our culture teaches us. But I can tell you this, it's not working out very well. Because people are liking stuff, but it's destroying them. People are making decisions and they have no idea what the consequences are. God knows what's down the road. I can trust him. Whatever he says, do it. Remember I said that, I think, a couple of weeks ago. Mary's advice still stands. That's what she said. Whatever he says to you, do it. Can I tell you, can I encourage you, if you want to walk in the way and the will of God, if you want to experience Christianity for what it was meant to do, be willing to say every day, not my will, but your will be done. God, whatever you want, with all of my time, with all of my resources, with all of who I am. And this is how Jesus began his ministry as he came into the world. I've come to do your will, O God. What a good way to start the day, friends. Lord, this day I've come to do your will, O God. Whatever you want, Lord, whether I like it or whether I don't like it. Because I said from John 5:19, Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself. Here was God on earth, and yet he could do nothing of himself. He said, but what he sees the Father do, whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. You know, whenever Jesus did miracles, he didn't do those miracles on his own power. Look at this in John 11:40. Jesus said to her, did I say to you, you would believe, you would see the glory of God. He's speaking to Martha. Lazarus was 4 days dead in the tomb. She protested. She said, by this time he stinks. And Jesus said to her, if you will believe, you'll see the glory of God. So they took the stone away from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, what did he say? Father, I thank you, you've heard me. I know you always hear me, but because of the people standing by, I said this, they may believe that you sent me. So what was he doing? What was Jesus doing? He's praying. He's praying. Look, you can go through quite a few verses in the New Testament and you'll find Jesus praying. You'll find him praying. You'll find him praying as we saw with the apostles. You'll find him spending all night in prayer. And after he prays, then he says, now when he said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave cloths. His face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. If we want to see the miraculous, we need to be found praying. You see, token prayers are, you know, like, well, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I awake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Oh, I've said my prayers. What does that mean? Or, as is common in our culture around here, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, the kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as is in heaven. Right? How many of them can you say, and how fast can you say them? What do you end up with? Nothing. I mean, would you like somebody to come and talk to you like that? I mean, would you say, get a life or do something? You're not making any sense here. God doesn't want to hear you just mumbling stuff over and over and over again to him. He wants your heart, friends. I mean, try that with your wife or your husband for a little while and see what they feel like. If you just mumble at them some words and little buzzwords in the morning and then at night a few more buzzwords. Just try that and see how that works out. God is a real person. Get to know him. And maybe you feel like, oh, I'm such a baby in prayer. I don't even know what to say. That's okay. Come as you are. Talk to him. Tell him that you don't know what to say. Tell him, Lord, I need your help in prayer. Go to the Bible and find where people were praying. And you can actually take those prayers and begin to lift them up to God. Go to the Psalms and read them. You can see so many prayers to God in the Psalms. And sometimes you'll identify with them. Especially times when you're going through hard times and you read one of the Psalms that you just, oh, that's me, God, that's me. Take the baby steps. Don't think of the mountain. Think of just taking one step at a time and growing in that relationship with God. Take the time to be with him and we will see God do these amazing things. After Jesus had fed the multitudes on the mountain, when it came time to, he sent his disciples out on the sea. But what did he do? It says he immediately Jesus made his disciples get in the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when evening was come, he was alone there. What does he end up doing? Walking on the sea to those disciples in the boat. He spent time with his Father. So, if there's anything that we could see, we know again and again we find him praying, going up on the mountaintop to pray. In John 17, we have a whole prayer that Jesus made. And we find him praying in the garden, don't we? We find him praying on the cross. We find him praying all through his life, in the darkest hours, in the busiest places, In the quiet solitude, wherever he was, Jesus was a praying man. And I want to encourage you. Can I ask you this question? Are you a praying person? Are you? Are you a praying person? Maybe you feel like, not like I should be. Because I can tell you that. I feel that way myself. But why not move in that direction? Okay. Why not say, okay, tomorrow morning, before the day kicks me in the rear, I'm going to pray. I'm going to spend time with Jesus. I'm going to spend some time with him at least. You will find that if you grow in that time with God, you'll want more of it, not less. You'll find yourself hungry for that, and you'll want to be found in his presence. Here's what it says in 2 Chronicles 7:14. It says this, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face." Now you notice, sometimes we, like I said, we think of prayer as this quick little buzz and we're off on the way. Seek the face of God. Seek him. Get to know him. There's no substitute for time spent with God. It's not just this quick stuff. There's this need to seek his face. What it does is it's not that God needs that. It's you that needs it. It's you that needs to get the clutter cleared. It's you that needs to be found in the presence of God. It's you that needs to get all the other stuff out so that you can actually see him and get to know him. And turn from their wicked ways. You know, I'm glad it doesn't say turn from your wicked ways and pray, humble, and seek your face first. Because if you will humble yourself, and if you will pray, and you will seek the face of God, he will give you the strength to turn from your wicked ways. Then he says, I'll hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, and I'll heal their land. This is a great heart cry. This was given to Israel many years ago, but you could take it to the bank. If you will humble yourself and pray, and seek the face of God, turn from your wicked way, you'll hear. God will hear from heaven. He'll forgive your sin. And he will bring a healing in your space. Whatever circumstances, there'll be a healing from God. That doesn't mean everything will go the way you expect it to go. Because you've already humbled yourself. You've already said, not my will, but your will be done. So here's the two verses. I want to leave you a couple more verses. And this one is Romans 12, 1 and 2. And this is the heart. This is the start of real prayer. I beg of you, brothers, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Give yourself away to God. Don't hold back. Completely. Give your whole being to God. That's what it says here. It's a reasonable thing for you to do. It's your spiritual worship, it says in another translation. Do not be conformed to this world. Don't walk the way the world is walking. Though everybody's doing it, that doesn't mean it's good. But be transformed. That is changed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind becomes renewed so that you can prove what is the good and the acceptable and the perfect will of God. You'll know what God wants for you. God will make things clear if you are willing to be this surrendered to him. He will. So be like Jesus. Find yourself praying. Be the one who says, I come to do your will, O God. Surrender everything to him. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks to the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful with this end with all perseverance. Supplication means requests. Praying always with all prayer. Praying always. Pray without ceasing. In everything giving thanks. A couple of quotes from E.M. Bounds just to close out our service. He says this. I think Christians fail so often to get answers to their prayers because they do not wait long enough on God. Take a little extra time this week, okay? Here's another statement by him. We do more of everything else than of praying. Is that true? Walking with God down the avenues of prayer, we acquire something of his likeness, and unconsciously we become witnesses to others of his beauty and his grace. There is no substitute, friends. If you walk with God, you become like him. So Psalm 46:10 says this, be still and know that I am God. And Psalm 46 starts with earthquakes, huge earthquakes. And yet, it says, in the middle of the earthquakes, I can find a place to be still and to know that He is God. Dear Father, Lord, teach us to pray. Take us, Lord, forward in prayer. Cause us to see the importance of it, the necessity of it. Lord, oh, open our eyes to see that it's worthwhile to take that time to be with You. Give us, Lord, even this week, times where we will get alone and put away everything else and meet with Jesus. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.